It's a delight to see lots of visitors here this morning. I think many of them are here because it's a special Sunday. We have five students who will be confirmed today. I've had the pleasure of spending the last few months in their confirmation class. They are some of the brightest kids I think I've ever met. They are delightful, and it's an exciting day for them. Thank you to all of you for being here, especially the family that has traveled. It's good to have you here to participate in this glorious day. For any visitors who are curious about the church, would like some more information, there are blue cards in the pew that you could fill out. If you have a prayer request that you would like us to pray for during the service and throughout the week, there's also yellow cards that you can fill out and hand to the usher during the offering, and we would be delighted to pray for you as well. By way of announcements, we have a couple this morning. This Wednesday, in lieu of our regular Bible study, Pastor Jim Rasmussen, he is the director of evangelism for the AFLC, he is going to be coming and sharing with us on Wednesday about his vision for evangelism in the AFLC. That should be an encouraging time. I encourage you to come and join that. And in 2 weeks from today, it will be our last day of Sunday school. There's a potluck, so if you have found some really exciting recipe that you've been waiting for an opportunity to test it out on people, that is the day. So 2 weeks from today, there will be a potluck celebrating the end of I guess it's a morning, the end of Sunday school, celebrating the beginning of summer. That's in 2 weeks from today. Concerning prayer, we've been praying for little baby Ephraim Amiot. He is still in the hospital. All things considered, he's doing well. They did confirm that he has Down syndrome and a heart defect that often goes along with that. And so we're just praying that he can stay strong enough, long enough, so he'll be ready for a heart surgery eventually. So if you want to continue to pray for Ephraim, that would be fabulous. Anyone else have any announcements this morning? Very good. Please join me then in hearing our call to worship from Psalm 84. How lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed, even yearned, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. How blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They are ever praising thee. If you would please rise and join in our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ."
Close those sweetest friends, but only thee, my Jesus. Psalm 107, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary.
First Peter 2:6, for this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed.
Through the storm, he is Lord.
Would you please join me in reading Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4 this morning as our confession of sins? You've heard it said that the church is not a museum for saints, but a hospital for sinners. And when we gather together every week, we acknowledge that we are sinful and unclean, and that it's Jesus Christ who makes us righteous. And so join with me in confessing now this morning. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and He has given His only Son to die for us, and it's for His sake that He forgives us all our sins. To those that believe in His name, He gives the power to become sons of God, and He bestows on them His Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all. This time we'll call on Carrie for this morning's scripture reading.
The epistle reading for this sixth Sunday of Easter is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's word. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. But this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The gospel lesson is from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. John chapter 15, starting with verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. These things I have commanded you, so that you will love one another. Here ends the reading.
Let us declare what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. At this point, I'll call on the ushers for this morning's offering. Lord, we thank you for always abundantly answering our prayer to give us our daily bread. Lord, we acknowledge that all these gifts are from you, and we ask that as we present them to you this morning, that you would use them for the advancement of your kingdom. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is a special time. This is one of my favorite pictures every year, is to sit here and take a mental snapshot of the horrified faces sitting in front of me. It's not going to be that bad, right? This class has been such a blessing to me, and I hope you know that you all have blessed me. So thank you for these last 2 years. I'm so thankful to God for you and for the work that he has done and continues to do and promises to continue to do in your lives. And so I'm excited for you, and I'm excited to see you continue to grow up in the Lord, in grace, and in the knowledge of the truth. And so this day, maybe if it doesn't quite feel like it right now, is a celebration, and it's not a celebration of you so much as it is the faith that God has given you, and a praise and a celebration of thanksgiving of God's goodness to us. Not just like Ryan just prayed for our daily bread. We thank God for that too. But today, I am thanking God that he has saved our souls, and that means everything, and that makes today a very special day, and it's a day of rejoicing in that as you confirm the faith that you have. And so I'm going to quit talking here, but I want to just say thank you to you for that. Thank you to you parents. So many of you parents are here too, and grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins. What a wonderful day this is. And so with that, the students have prepared brief testimonies, and I emphasize brief because I still want to preach today. And so don't take over for me. I tried to switch sermon and testimony with one of the students earlier this morning. They didn't go for it. They were fine keeping their testimony and me preaching still. So anyway, we'll call on the first student here at this time.
My name is Ellie, and I grew up in a Christian home. This sounds a lot like a standard introduction you've probably all heard before, but it actually means a lot. If my family had not brought me up to love Christ, I probably would never have found my way to the cross. Jesus saved me when he died at Calvary. Some parts of my life have been very difficult, as he promised, and Jesus always helped me through them. I'm very grateful to both my family and my friends for all their support and care. Christ has done a lot for me. He saved me, and he saved my family, and he saved my friends. I cannot be more thankful for everything he has helped me through and done for me.
Hello, my name is Caden Larson, and today I will be sharing my testimony on how God has been working in my life. So let's go ahead and begin. First, God has helped me to be more kind to others through his word and putting people into my life to help me recognize when I am not being kind, such as my parents. Psalm 141 verse 5 says, "Let a righteous man strike me, that is kindness. Let him rebuke me, that is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it, for my prayer will still be against the deeds of evildoers." As you can see, God can use people to discipline you and to teach you when you are standing out of line. I thank God also for the gift of his word that continually teaches us things. 2 Timothy 3:16 mentions this as it says that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Second, God has helped me to be convinced of the reality of Christianity. When I was younger, I wrestled with questions of whether God was real or not, or if I was a Christian or not. Then God really used something to help me. Lee Strobel's story on how he became a Christian by trying to prove that Christianity was false, that convinced me. He helped me to gradually grow in my... He tried to prove that the resurrection of Christ never happened, but he couldn't. God also helped me to gradually grow in my assurance that I am saved through Jesus Christ's work on the cross. God has also put parents into my life to help me put all of the questions that I might have to rest. In summary, God has helped me to be more kind to the people around me and has helped me to realize that Christianity is real. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sophia. My relation with Jesus has always been a little bit bumpy. Like he promised, I have had many trials in my life. Unfortunately, some were very early trials and it impacted my faith a ton. I was born and raised in a Christian home, so I was being taught about all the wonderful things Jesus did for me. Even though I was surrounded by God, I was always searching and never understood and fully accepted his love. I would lie in bed at night, terrified of when Jesus would come back because I couldn't understand how to let go and let Jesus work because I thought I didn't believe enough. I was so wrapped up in myself and desperate for Jesus in my life, I was unconsciously angry at God. As I got older, my anger impacted other things around me. Eventually, my anger started to disappear, but there was still something missing. In early May of 2014, we started looking for a new church and came across St. Paul's. For the first time in my life, I felt like I was surrounded by people outside of my family who deeply cared about me and my faith. I don't know how it happened, but I started to let go that I thought I needed perfect faith to be saved. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your biggest things God has given me as this church." I most definitely did not get what I was expecting. When I came, I expected to be greeted, stand in the corner, and then watch as the girls talk together. Instead, I was welcomed with wide open arms and accepted to the inner circle of girls my age instantly. I'm so blessed to have the girls and can now call my friends. They love me way more than I deserve. Every time I see them, they teach me how to have patience and to forgive with the love of Jesus. By far, one of the best things God has given me is my parents and my siblings. They have surrounded me with God and his love and are always there backing me up and supporting me. I'm so blessed that I'm homeschooled so I can freely learn about God at school. I thank him every day for the people he has put in my life. They show me how to forgive and to let go of my anxiety to have perfect belief and understanding of God. They are so loving and take such good care of me. I am so grateful that God has led me to where I am, to the people in my life, and out of my hole of self-pity and despair. One of my favorite Bible passages is from Mark 4, 35 through 41. This is the story of Jesus calming the storm. In the middle of the whirlwind of life, even when it doesn't look like he's there, Jesus is always there watching out for me. He stands up and commands the storm to calm. It instantly calms down, and Jesus turns around and says, "Why are you so afraid? Let me take care of you."
Hello, my name is Paul Olson, and this is one of the ways that God has worked in my life. Through my life, Jesus has taught me many things. One of the ways he teaches me is through different Bible camps that I go to. Last summer, I had the opportunity to go to the Fly Convention in Colorado. The theme that year was Illuminate. This means that God will always light your path and show you the way, even when times are hard. This has helped me learn how to get through tough times. By praying for guidance and being patient, God will always help you through tough times. Philippians 4:13 says, Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And by guiding or showing his light, he will help you through his times, and you can do anything. So this is one of the ways that I have grown closer to God by communicating with him, and I'm so thankful that he died for my sins and saved me. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Chloe. I have accepted Jesus into my life as my Lord and Savior. I've always known who Jesus is and what he has done for me. I've seen him do great things in my family and to my friends and to others. He helped my grandma beat cancer and was always there for her. But one of my best memories of knowing Jesus was when I went to Fly just this past year. At Fly, I saw Jesus working in the hearts of other kids my age and also in me. My favorite service, what really opened my heart, was this all-girls service. It was so cool to see so many other girls who believed in Christ and to see Christ working in the hearts of them and also in the hearts of others who didn't know him that well. The message was about how God loves you even when we mess up and make mistakes, and it moved me and a lot of others. I'd like to thank my mom and my dad and the rest of my family for helping me know Jesus. I'd also like to thank the church for helping me go to Bible camps so I can learn more about God and for praying for us on a daily basis. Thank you for helping me and growing in my faith.
Okay.
And now for our confirmation service. Beloved in the Lord, you have been baptized into the Christian faith, and in that faith, you have now received instruction. 2 years, long or short? Short? Good. Okay. May the Lord, through his Holy Spirit today, on this special day like I talked about, grant you a living faith. This is not a graduation. This is simply a confirmation. We're confirming what God has been doing in your life and promises to continue to do. This is the Holy Spirit coming so that you may be able to boldly confess before God and this congregation now the confidence that you have in Jesus Christ. And so, first of all, to Elizabeth Josephine Gillen, are you a Christian? Yes, good. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, answer, I do. Do you believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, answer, I do. Do you promise to remain faithful to the teaching of the Christian church and in the use of the means of grace? If so, answer, I do. Give me your right hand as a sign of your commitment to these promises. And for a Bible verse for you, I chose Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to him. May the triune God, who in holy baptism has adopted you as his child and has made you an heir of eternal life, preserve you in the grace of your baptism and grant you steadfastness in your faith to the salvation of your soul. Amen. Now to Caden James Larson. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, answer, I do. And do you believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, answer, I do. Do you promise to remain faithful to the teaching of the Christian church and in the use of the means of grace? If so, answer, I do. Give me your right hand as a sign of your commitment to these promises. For a Bible verse for you, I chose Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. May the triune God, who in holy baptism has adopted you as his child and has made you an heir of eternal life, preserve you in the grace of your baptism and grant you steadfastness in your faith to the salvation of your soul. Amen. Now, Sophia Lynn Lucht. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
And do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, answer, I do. Do you believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, answer, I do. And do you promise to remain faithful to the teaching of the Christian church and in the use of the means of grace? If so, answer, I do. Give me your right hand as a sign of your commitment to these promises. And for a Bible verse for you, I chose Psalm 59:16 and 17. But I will sing of your strength, I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning, for you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. May the triune God, who in holy baptism has adopted you as his child and has made you an heir of eternal life, preserve you in the grace of your baptism and grant you steadfastness in your faith to the salvation of your soul. Amen. You can stand. Paul Austin Olson, are you a Christian?
Yes.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And do you believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, answer, I do. And do you promise to remain faithful to the teaching of the Christian church and in the use of the means of grace? If so, answer, I do. Give me your right hand as a sign of your commitment to these promises. For a Bible verse for you, I chose Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. May the triune God, who in holy baptism has adopted you as his child and has made you an heir of eternal life, preserve you in the grace of your baptism and grant you steadfastness in your faith to the salvation of your soul. Amen. And Chloe May Strum, are you a Christian?
Yes.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, answer, I do. Do you believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, answer, I do. Do you promise to remain faithful to the teaching of the Christian church and in the use of the means of grace? If so, answer, I do. Give me your right hand as a sign of your commitment to these promises. And for you, I chose Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. May the triune God, who in holy baptism has adopted you as his child and has made you an heir of eternal life, preserve you in the grace of your baptism and grant you steadfastness in your faith to the salvation of your soul. Stand. In the name of the Lord Jesus, whom you have confessed and promised to serve, and on behalf of St. Paul's Free Lutheran Church, I hereby authorize you to receive the Lord's Supper, and I invite you to participate in all the spiritual privileges of the congregation. Peace be with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit, you have begun that good and perfect work in us. We thank you that in baptism you have granted these young servants your gift of regeneration. We thank you that through the light of your Holy Spirit you have enabled them to acknowledge your saving grace. May you perfect what you have begun. Grant them an ever-increasing knowledge of the salvation that you have prepared in Christ. They are weak. Strengthen them with your might. They are to meet a dangerous world. Guide them with your counsel. They will experience many temptations. Help them to resist and overcome. In every hour of need and trial, comfort them with your Holy Spirit. Help them to watch and pray and to seek diligently in word and sacrament the nourishment of your grace. May they stand strong in you and in the power of our word, confessing before a watching world that their faith in you, with the Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Congratulations. Congratulations. You are fabulous.
We will call on you later in the service to come and to take part in communion here after a little while. A beautiful time, isn't it? So wonderful to hear your testimonies of faith. You're confessing Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's sing a song here before the sermon, and this is a traditional, typical confirmation hymn. It's hymn number 287, O Jesus, I Have Promised. We are in the book of Acts this morning. Chapter 11. I would invite you, if you have your Bibles with you today, to turn with me there and to stand with me if you are able as I read these verses. Acts chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 19 through 26. Acts chapter 11, beginning with verse 19 this morning, in Jesus' name. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul,
And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Here ends our reading. Father, these are your words. I thank you for them this morning, and I pray that you would set them apart in our hearts as truth, because your word is true. God, I pray that you would help us to see these words today, not just as mere traditions. They are true words, but God, they are true words that do so much more for us. They're true words that give life. Impress that upon our hearts today, we pray. In your name, amen. You may be seated. Cultures all around the world, I'll get to that picture in a second here. Cultures all around the world pass on beliefs, traditions to those who come after. Confirmation is a practice that has been around for a long time. And I found this picture in a book from a church in Minnesota of that church's confirmation class in 1913, so 105 years ago. Now, confirmands, take a look at this picture, and this is interactive, so you're going to have to answer me, okay? Take a look at that picture, and tell me if there's anything in that picture that you see that you're glad did not get passed on through the generations to you. What's that? Hair bows the size of your head, okay? Yes. So the clothes are a little bit different. Let's see here. The boys have ties on, and both of you guys have ties on, but you don't have suit coats. What else? It's kind of hard to see from up there. Does anybody, can you guys see what their faces look like? They're not happy. That's one way of saying it. Very simply, they're not smiling, right? Okay? Yeah, okay, clothing is different. There's no smiles. I see the pastor sitting on some throne-like chair. I think I'm going to bring that tradition back. I kind of like how that looks. Okay? You can take the picture off. Why are you here today? You don't have to answer that one out loud, but think about it. Why did you even start confirmation? Now, most students don't really think too deeply about those questions, especially when they're starting confirmation. Frankly, probably tradition is a big reason to start confirmation, especially from a student's perspective. Parents may understand it differently, but typically a student's thought process is that, well, mom and dad said I'm going, so I'm going to go, and everybody else has done it for how many years? Maybe older brother and sister have gone through it. Okay, it's very common for people to see confirmation as nothing more than a tradition, a rite of passage that you need to go through if you want to be a part of the church. And maybe we don't dress the same as they did 100 years ago, and we smile, I hope, a little bit more, okay? We talked about that already this morning, okay? But the tradition is still there. Confirmation is so much more than mere tradition. And I hope that you five understand that at least a little bit after these 2 years. You see, interestingly, we were passing something on during our time together. But what was being passed on was something far greater and more powerful than any human tradition, and its place in your life is of infinite value compared to any other traditions you may have in your life. And what I'm talking about is the good news message of the gospel. The life-giving word of God. That's what we've been studying, right? In our text this morning, we see the word of God being passed on early in the life of the church. And based on what the book of Acts describes, when the word of God is passed on and believed, it's not like passing on a recipe to your children or grandchildren so that they can have the same Christmas meal in the next generation. It's not like teaching your children your family history, as great as those things are. When we share the word of God with each other, and faith comes, eternal life is given. That's the infinite greatness and power and value of what we have here. Verse 19 in our text helps to give us some context of what was happening at this time. Believers were scattered, it says. And they were scattered because of persecution that arose over Stephen. All the way back in Acts chapter 1, Jesus had died, he had rose again, and now in chapter 1, he's in Jerusalem, and he says to the 11 remaining disciples there, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and to the end of the earth." Witnesses, witnessing to Jesus Christ, telling people about him. In Acts 2, Pentecost comes, and that's what they do. Peter preaches Christ. And he calls the people there to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. He passed on that message, and 3,000 souls that day were saved. In Acts 3 and 4 and 5, thousands are coming to faith. And then Acts 6, it's too much work now for the disciples. And so they need help leading and serving the people, preaching. And so they appointed their 7 more to lead in the early church. One of those 7 was a man named Stephen from our text. It says that the word of God continued to increase. And in chapter 7 then, Stephen preaches. And he preaches to a group of hard-hearted and angry Jewish leaders. He directly reveals their rejection of the Messiah, Jesus. Acts 7:54 says that the people were enraged. And so they drug him out of the city and stoned him to death. This was all under the watchful eye of a man named Saul, who went on to persecute Christians greatly. It says that Saul ravaged the church, and the Christians then were scattered. But listen to this, Acts 8:4. Those who were scattered went about preaching the word. They kept sharing the word of God. Friends, sharing this word of God, passing it on, is not mere tradition. And I'm not even talking exclusively about confirmation. What do we do here on Sunday? Do we just come because we always have? Do we come simply to show our kids it's a good thing, which it is? But it's so much more. What happens here on Sunday, sharing God's word, is something that Stephen died for. I don't know about you, there are a lot of traditions that I love that I'm not going to die for. These others who were scattered in the face of intense persecution, imprisonment, kept preaching the word, passing it on. Acts 8, 9, 10, and the first part of 11 move on from that, but then verse 19 of our text comes back to that persecution that arose over Stephen and the scattering that happened. And so when Luke is writing this book, after Stephen's stoning, all these things happened, mostly with Peter and Philip and a few others, but now Luke takes us back. Meanwhile, something else was happening. Some of those who were scattered traveled north to Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch. Mostly talking to Jews, it says, but verse 20 says that there were some in Antioch who spoke to the Hellenists. Now quickly, don't lose this theme here. They spoke to them. They are passing on the word of God. They are Christ's witnesses, going all the way back to his commission to them as he ascended into heaven. Hellenists were Greek-speaking non-Jews, so they're Gentiles. So this is them now witnessing to the end of the earth, beyond Judea and Samaria, like Jesus said in Acts 1, and then to the end of the earth, because this message, friends, was not just for the Jewish people. This word is not just a cultural tradition. The word of God is not Oli and Lena jokes, pardon the comparison. God's word transcends culture, race, generation. It's for everyone, it's for you. And look at what they spoke to the Hellenists. They preached the Lord Jesus. They preached the Lord Jesus. I had an interesting episode last Monday morning. 2 Jehovah's Witnesses came to the office here, which I thought was bold. and picked a fight, so to speak. That particular morning, the one thing on their minds was the topic of war and whether it's ever right to kill another person. And they drifted to a few other topics, too. But whenever I tried to steer the conversation to the fact that Jesus is the one and only begotten Son of God and that salvation is found in him alone, they went another direction. We talked about this, actually. We read about it in 1 John 4, testing the spirits, if you remember earlier today. We know the spirits. Will they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, sent from God? They didn't want to talk about that. They steered away from it. The message of the gospel is the message of Christ and his sufficient work on the cross and his victory in the empty tomb. Jehovah's Witnesses like to talk a lot about the Bible and about Jesus, but they're unwilling to say and to believe that he is enough. And it's not just them either. Any religion, any pastor, even in quote-unquote Christian churches, who preaches, for example, a Christ and message. So Christ is fine, but you need to do your part to be saved too. That's not the message that Christ commissioned the disciples to witness to. It's not the message of these men here in Antioch. They're preaching the Lord Jesus, period. I listened to a podcast this week on Ephesians 6 and spiritual warfare, and they made the point there that, and think about this with me, the devil is not going to try to get you to stumble with devilish types of things, okay? So, this is a little bit of a silly illustration, but bear with me. If, for example, an actual demon was manifested and was walking down the street at you, that'd be pretty easy to spot. Okay? The best trick the devil can use is to take this great and powerful and life-giving and sufficient word of God and twist it into something that is mostly right. But with just enough wrong in it to take your eyes and your heart off of Jesus. This is why we preach the word and the word alone. This is why we preach the Lord Jesus and his sufficient work on our behalf. Anything less than that isn't right and it's not safe. I love Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 2, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And listen to this. Paul says, "My speech, my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Do you hear that? Our faith, your faith, you five and all of you here, it is in the power of God alone and the message of Christ alone. Luke refers to this in our text when he says that the hand of the Lord was upon them. The hand of the Lord is an Old Testament phrase. Isaiah 59 is one place where it comes up. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. The hand of God is mighty to save." And it says here that in Antioch, a great number who believed turned to the Lord, were saved. This was new in the world, and it was wonderful. The message of the gospel reaching Gentiles in other parts of the world now. This message is not for one culture, it's for everyone, and word spread. The church in Jerusalem heard about it, where Christianity started. And so they sent Barnabas, a notorious encourager, to Antioch to encourage and to check it out. Is this actually happening? And then look at verse 23. When he saw what was going on, the grace of God, he was glad. Full of cheer. Rejoiced exceedingly is the word there. I rejoice today, like I said earlier. We, the congregation, rejoice today that there are five. Sometimes a day like today, I'll just, personal confession, gets complicated because it's very busy. There's lots of people and lots of things going on. To stop and to look very simply at what is happening today. There are five young people in our midst who are willing to stand up and say, I'm a Christian. And I believe in the sufficient work of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? It says that Barnabas exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord. Ellie, Caden, Sophia, Paul, Chloe, remain faithful to the Lord. Look to him and his word. Cling to him and his word. If anything or anyone should come along and cause you to doubt Christ's power and sufficiency, to try to diminish the work that Christ has done for you, flee from that. Christ is your bread of life. Feed yourselves with him and his word, and Jesus says you will never hunger. He is your living water. He brings refreshment to your soul like nothing or nobody else can. Remain faithful to the Lord. Barnabas left Antioch in our text, and he went to Tarsus, it says, a nearby city, to find that man named Saul. Remember him? Who earlier, it says, had ravaged the church with persecution, who had approved of Stephen's killing? Since that time, God's word, Christ, had found Saul. And he had become a believer. He would go on to become the first missionary, his name being changed, maybe you recognize, to Paul, the one who wrote much of the New Testament. Barnabas brought him to Antioch because Paul was to spearhead the effort to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, and now that's starting. And so Barnabas goes over to nearby Tarsus, gets Saul, now Paul, over to be with them. Verse 26 says that they met with the church there for a whole year and taught a great many people, their own little confirmation class, if you will. But I would guess they spent more than an hour a week together. And then it says that this was where Christ's first disciples were called Christians. We've spent the last 2 years talking about God's word, studying it, learning it, sharing it. It tells us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I asked these students earlier if they were Christians. I pose that question to you all. Are you a Christian? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to save you from your sins by dying on the cross and to give you eternal life through his resurrection from the dead? Those aren't mere words of tradition. They bring new life. They change us. Christ changed Saul. Stephen and others through history gladly died for these words. We don't know what life holds for us. I don't know what your lives are going to look like. You're just starting out. But whatever may come, good or bad, when you have Christ, when you have his word, you have all you need. He is sufficient for you. I'll close with a quote this morning from a man. He was the bishop, the head pastor of Antioch, just a few hundred years after this. John Chrysostom was his name. This gospel message that they had here and that they brought to Antioch took root in that city. It became a center of Christianity. This is what John writes. What, pray, are we afraid of? So insert yourselves to this. What are you afraid of? Death, he says? For me to live is Christ and death gain. But tell me, what am I afraid of? Is it exile?
The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. So even if I'm by myself, he's saying, in exile, I still belong to the Lord. Is it the loss of property? John says, we brought nothing into the world. It is certain we can take nothing out of it. What are we afraid of? The terrors of the world I despise. Its treasures I deem laughable. I do not dread even death. But I live to help you advance in virtue, so I simply note what is happening at present, and I call on you, my dear people, to be of good heart. Today is a happy day. It's a joyful day. Be of good heart, because with Christ, whatever may come, good or bad, we have all we need. That's enough. Amen. As we get ready for communion, let's sing a beautiful hymn, a newer hymn, familiar to many of us, perhaps, In Christ Alone. When we go through our curriculum on the Lord's Supper and confirmation, I encourage the students, and I'll encourage them today, remind them today, and all of you, I think it's three questions that we talk about to prepare our hearts for communion. Number one, do you believe that you are a sinner? Do you believe that you need Jesus to forgive you? And then number two, do you believe that that he is here with us in the Lord's Supper, as he promised in his word, that he is really present, and that his presence is a gracious presence, and one that is abundant with steadfast love and forgiveness. And then thirdly, do you believe in fact that Jesus does forgive your sins, as his word and promise declares? And with those questions in mind, I would invite you all to examine yourselves. Do you believe you're a sinner? That you need Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus comes to us in his word and sacrament, and that when he comes, he brings forgiveness, and that in fact, you are forgiven because of the promise that his word declares? If that is true, you are welcome and invited to come, and we want that. This is a beautiful time of fellowship, of communion, community with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had eaten and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This time I'm going to invite the confirmation students to come forward to the rail. We will serve them first alone, and then after that, the ushers will come forward and direct the rest of you. As we close the service now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for refreshing us today with your gracious gifts. As we think of you as the bread of life, the living water, we are grateful that if life that spread in you, we are refreshed. God, I pray, yeah, the life that springs up abundantly. God, I pray that you would continue to impress upon our hearts and lives each day just how good you are to us. And I pray, God, that you would continue to, through your Holy Spirit, be changing us and molding us, shaping us to be more like you. Lord, I pray that especially for these five confirmants today, and I thank you so much for them and for the blessing that they have been and are to me. Lord, I pray that you would watch over and protect and keep them safe as they grow up from the dangerous attacks of the evil one.
I pray that for all of us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember, to take seriously the fact that our enemy does prowl about like a roaring lion. But God, I pray that you would remind us each and every day that enemy was defeated once and for all when you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross and to rise from the grave. It is in you that we find our hope and our joy and our satisfaction. And we thank you and praise you for that. I pray for those who are sick today, who are not feeling well, for whatever reason, I pray that you would heal where that is needed, comfort those who are lonely or suffering from other difficulties, challenges. Lord, I pray that you would that you would continue to lead and guide our congregation. Thank you for the people here, Lord, and I pray that you would continue to bless us as you do each and every day. I pray for the rest of this day and this week now until we meet again. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you for saving us. We praise you, we thank you, we love you. In your name we pray, amen. Please rise, receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.